We'll see how it goes. Your old man's coming from the mountain, so he's here. If you have your Bibles, you went over that chapter 6, verse 11 through 20, and you notice the contrast that Paul is drawing from one kind of a lifestyle to another. And he's talking about when we live the old lifestyle, we ought to reckon ourselves dead to that. Notice that verse 11. And then he said, we're not to let our mortal physical bodies control our appetites and our desires. I don't know what else you said right, but you said it right. We've got a messed up generation, and we're trying to raise one without some of those firm institutions that gave you and I solid ground to stand on, a family, a home, and the school was the thing that we built a lot of it around. And now it's just we don't know, and the kids don't know. And that was a very basic part of the foundation of life when I was growing up. And we trusted and we depended upon that. But and God says here in verse 14, that all that sin should not have dominion over us. It should not control us. And shall we continue in sin that we're not under the law anymore, but under grace? He says no. We've been made free from that sin. So we want to talk about living the Christian life. The Christian life, getting saved and becoming a Christian, is the easiest thing that you ever do. It's so easy we have a hard time believing that it can happen that way. And when someone tells us, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again and you never have to worry about the judgment of sin upon you anymore, heaven is your home, and you're there. And we think that's just too easy. And many churches kind of place requirements and restrictions on that and add to that, which is not so, because the Bible says that it's without the works of man. So that's the easiest thing. The hard part is living that life before a world. And that's what the institutions and the church should be the chief corner, and our home and our school and our government and things that are going on. We're facing, may speak more about this tonight, we're facing an election in my lifetime, and I'm probably about as old as those person in here, that I've never seen such a mess. I've never seen such a mess of this or heard of it. And we need to think seriously about what's going to happen, and whatever happens, the prognosticators are forecasting that regardless of who's elected, there's going to be a bloodbath and a hell on earth, and that could well be. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure all those things out. I just know we need to be ready. So let's talk about how we, and I would like to have the good news. The good news is we can, and God says we've been made free from it. So we're looking at living the Christian life. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. God has transformed us from a life of sin, a life of garbage, a life of condemnation, a life of no direction, to a life of an awesome beauty for Him. And when He was talking to, for point one, we have to be born of the Spirit. When He was talking to Nicodemus, He was talking about being born of the Spirit. Notice in verse 5, He said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. He says there's no way you can get into heaven. There's no way you can become a part of the thing. I think we have opened a door, or we're afraid. I heard a lady talking on some kind of a show that was going on somewhere I was, a television. And she's saying, judgmental. Well, I always get my ears perked up when people talk about that. Like we're not supposed to judge anything. Well, if somebody brings you out a meal, you go out with your family and they bring out a meal and the food looks like something the dogs ate and gave back to you, and you're not supposed to judge and say, hey, there's something wrong with this meal. You're making some kind of judgment. And so the world has this, and it's came along with that generation. Now, don't judge people. And I can remember one time I was at my older brother's house, and he had three beautiful daughters, and one of them was going out on her first date. And this boy come in, and here she was kind of dressed up, and he was kind of sloppy, and the boy, my dad said, you know, I don't think, sit down. He said, I'm going to talk to you a minute. I don't think you understand what you're about to do. You're asking me to take out my oldest daughter on a date and look at her dress and look at the way you're dressed. And, well, he was being judgmental. You know what it was? Well, that poor kid was sweating drops of sweat. He wanted to get out of there, and I almost felt sorry for him myself. But there's a difference. There should be a difference. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to get in it starting here. It's starting here. We're part of the kingdom of God already. We'll be rejoicing and sharing in the fruits over there. And he defines it a little more clearly in verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus, as a matter of fact, I don't have it written down here, but Jesus said to him in that same chapter, he said, because Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can a person be born again? I don't understand that. And he was a very smart man, knew the Bible, the Old Testament Bible, which they had. He knew it forward and backwards. And Jesus said, you mean to tell me you're a man of understanding and you don't understand these simple truths? And so he broke it down for him more specifically to explain to him. There's something happening, transforming, when we are born of the Spirit, that God places His Spirit in us, and we no longer want to do the things, and we now have the power, and we'll talk about that some here in a moment if we have time. We no longer want to do the things that the Spirit, the flesh is pulling us to do. We want to follow the Spirit. He says, well, Nicodemus, it's like this. You see the wind blow? You don't see the wind. You see what the wind does. You see the leaves move. You hear it rustle through the trees. He says there in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is invisible to the human eye. The understanding of that. But the person who receives the Spirit of God, when they begin to yield to the Spirit of God and the things of God from the instruction, we'll talk about that in a moment, the Bible and other things, that's how we get our direction and understanding of the Spirit. And then he says in Galatians 4:29, but as then he that is born after the flesh persecuteth himself that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So he's saying there's a divine separation between your flesh and the Spirit of God and the things that define what the Spirit is. So first of all, we must walk in the Spirit. We can take, when we think about being born again, and I think this is sad. We Baptists probably are the most guilty, which is one side of it is good. We're very aggressive about soul winning, and we try to win people to the Lord. We don't want them to die and go to hell. But that's just the beginning. And so we don't do much follow-up with them. And they don't do much after that instruction. And so they just remain babies in Christ. Paul talks about that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Babes in Christ. And he said you've still got a like a baby sucking on a bottle. You never grown up. We've seen people emotionally or however other attributes goes along with the physical body that have never grown up. And so he says, spiritually, you got there, but you haven't grown up yet. So one of the things we do is we start walking. They've been telling me, walk a lot. So I've been walking. I walk and walk and walk and walk. Walk a lot, exercise, do all I can. Because they tell me you got to do all that. You don't want to lose it. If you don't lose it, you use it, you lose it, right? So we try to do that. So we walk in the Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, Jesus in the Bible and God's Word says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. They do a lot of things to the road. Some of them kind of scary. But you're going down the road and you see a line over here and you see a line over there and you know you're to stay in between the lines, right? And sometimes you don't pay attention and you hear, burp, you got to get back on this side. That's telling you, I got one here somewhere, I think. Don't it? Yeah. All right, in a minute. And by the way, I was going to mention that. I didn't want to say too much about it. You have a mute button back there. When you say return, when I used to do a program over in Martinsburg, we had to call it a cough button. If you felt yourself had to cough, you push on the button so it didn't go over there, right? So we'll do that. But I think we're okay for right now. But thanks for the help there. But he's saying, walk in the Spirit. And you have guidelines. We have the Bible. We have things. There are things that are important. There are judgmental things that you have to do. And we'll talk about that a little later on here. We've got a lot to talk about. We might not get out of here at about 2 o'clock. But there's guideposts and guidelines, and we have to make judgments. And people help you make those early in your life. And then as you get older, you should be able to say, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that. I know I'm not supposed to act this way or react that way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I want to follow the spiritual light. I mentioned those road things. They got them at night now where they light up. And sometimes they put them now in the middle of the road on a curve. And you come around there where I've not been before. And I see all those big arrows pointing there. And they're showing you to slow down. And then the real scary ones is get in that tunnel over there. You go through that tunnel. That's a treat, isn't it? And you, boom, one a traction trailer over here, one behind you, one in front of you, boom, boom, boom. And you're saying, all of a sudden the lights are white, then they're red, and they're on this side, they're on that side. And you're thinking, I hope he's got the right one over there. But those are direction signals that tell us where to stay, to be safe. Because if we don't, we could have an accident, kill ourselves and somebody else too. And many people have made shipwreck and haven't really got started with the Christian life because they don't obey those signs. He says in Romans 8:4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're saying, they used to say if it looks bad, if it smells bad, it's probably bad, right? So we don't want to have anything to do with that kind of stuff. The lust of the flesh that pulls on us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, don't go around places where you know the flesh will be pulled and tempted. Well, excuse me. I don't see anything wrong going with a karaoke, going to karaoke bar. Well, if that's all you did, probably not. But there are things there and people there that's going to draw you. And guys that have their coat pocket and pull out something, hey, here's a little bit of stuff, try this, this would be all right. You see, I may be old, but I'm not stupid. I know what goes on in the world. I've been around the block a time or two. I didn't come over on a cabbage wagon yesterday. You know what? I understand that. And I know what lust of the flesh are the youth and how we can get pulled away from the things of God. The church, the things that parents taught us are the things that will help pull us to the Spirit. That's what. Well, why do I have to? And listen to this. If you don't get anything else, get this today out of this. We live in a time when wisdom is thrown plumb out the window. We just don't have much wisdom anymore. And wisdom comes with a lot of association with things that teach us wisdom. Our parents, our homes, our schools, things that we should know about. So we need to live in the Spirit. Number three, 1 Peter 4:6, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the to God in the Spirit. And God's talking about judge there. You know, make some judgments in your life. You're not stupid. You got two eyes. You got a brain. Some things you can just figure it out pretty quick. I see things happen. They had an incident out in Cincinnati at the big zoo they have out there. They have a big zoo where a five-year-old kid fell in a thing with a big tiger of some kind or something. Now, and I'm making a judgment, right? Where was the stupid parents? Where was the stupid parent? Oh, I thought Bill was watching him. He was walking along the edge, and here the kid was, showed video of him sitting on the rail, throwing stuff down in there, and the parents all around him. So don't make any judgments. I want my kids to grow up making their own decisions. I don't want to push them or force them anything. I say to people sometimes when out visiting, like to get your kids in church and school, Sunday school. Well, would you kids like to go to Sunday school? Get your clothes on. We're going to church and going to Sunday school. Amen. Oh, that's harsh, Pastor. I know it is. Because some people are hard-headed. Some people will say, yeah, Daddy, I'll go. And somebody else will say, Dad, I don't want to go. I can remember as a little boy, one of the things my dad didn't do, he taught me a lot of stuff, but he never taught me much about church or God until it was late in his life. But I couldn't wait to get home when my sisters would drag me to Sunday school. We used to take a handkerchief. Mom would give us a handkerchief. Did you ever do this, anybody when you're a kid? And she'd tie some pennies in there, and that'd be our offering. Did you ever do that? Anybody? Yeah, we'd do that. And I couldn't wait to get home because my dad would already have the Cincinnati Enquirer opened up, and he'd already read the funny pages, and I wanted to be the first one to read the funny pages. I wanted to read all those kind of things, you know. But we have to follow and live in the Spirit. Have a spiritual mind, a spiritual mindset. Well, how are you going to have a spiritual mindset if you don't practice it? Now, first of all, he talks about you got a spiritual mind when you got spiritually reborn. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So when you got saved, God's mind, Jesus Christ's spiritual mind, the Holy Spirit, was placed in you, so you have the ability to think like God thinks and make judgments spiritually about things. God gave you that ability. Did your mom or dad ever say, boy, straighten up. Use your brain. I know you got one in there. Or you act like your Uncle Bill or somebody else because you inherited that. But make sure that you... Now, that mind has to... Like everything else, how are you going to play a guitar? How are you going to play a musical? How are you going to sing? How are you going to read music? Well, you got to get the book out and study it. This note means this. This means too many counts and all that. We understand that. Well, if you don't saturate the human mind with things that you want to learn humanistically, how are you going to learn spiritual things if you don't let God mature and digest stuff in you and make that mind broaden and grow? That's spiritual. You can't think spiritual. You can't make spiritual judgment. People say, well, I don't get anything out of that. I don't get anything out of that. Well, you got to open up the Bible. You got to open up your mind. You got to take a verse at a time. You got to digest it. You got to listen to who's teaching. What's the point? And God will begin to open up your spiritual mind and illuminate it so you can think and understand spiritual things. But if you don't do that, you're not going to learn. And some people say, I was in church all my life, sitting there with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, fire on one end, the idiot on the other, you know what I mean? I was in church all my life. I know the plan of salvation forwards and backwards. Yeah, and probably on his road to hell, because he never let God give him a spiritual mind, or if he got one, he never exercised it to any way. So you've got to exercise it and go to the places that your mind will get, your spiritual mind will get exercised. Not the karaoke bar, but Sunday school, okay? I don't know why I keep hitting this karaoke bar. I never was in one in my life. I just heard some of the stuff, but I know what it was like when I went there. I mean, that was a place where you like to get out and do crazy stuff. Okay, we have the ability, number five. We have the ability to think and to act and to react spiritually. And these are our weapons against the flesh that's pulling us another direction. We have that ability because we have a spiritual mind. He says in Romans 15:27, it hath pleased him verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. So he's comparing again the carnal and the spiritual. There's a part of you every once in a while, and maybe it's starting to happen right now, you're saying, boy, I could go for a steak sandwich, or I could go for a big pizza, or I could go for whatever it is that you desire, or a big cold drink of lemonade, or whatever, because the flesh is pulling you that way. Well, you ought to get to where the spiritual mind, you hear somebody singing when the roll club, you say, boy, that sounds like my crowd. I want to go where they're, what to see what they're teaching, what they're talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Now, get that into your head. We think if somebody knows a lot, real smart, they know everything. They can know everything about nothing. I'm like the guy who told the other guy, he said, I know what is in every book, in every library in the world. He said, what there? He said, words. And that is true. You can know everything and not know anything. Wisdom is knowing how to take things and understanding and then do things with it. You know, if all you do is just know them, they say Al Capone was one of the brilliant men. And other people like that. But they made stupid choices. They didn't have wisdom. They had knowledge. You can look up everything today. I was riding along in a vehicle, and it happened to be a Ford van. Somebody said, Hodge, how do we get these lights on? And first thing I know, the guy next to me pulled out his phone and bang, bang, he punched it. It says, do this, do that. Wait a minute. He did that, and it worked. Was he smart? As a matter of fact, I think we have weakened the minds of ourselves and our children by not letting them figure out things. Just, there it is. Punch a button, and you got it all. Amen? Verse 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He says, God's given you a spiritual mind, and you now have the ability to judge things on a spiritual standard. Is this going to help my spiritual life, or is it going to hinder it? And I can make that judgment. But not if I haven't been around getting my spiritual mind exercised with spiritual things. Not if I haven't been born again and have a spiritual mind. I have to have all that, or I'm not going to be able to. How do people get in trouble? How did you get on drugs? I don't know. Some guy took me to a party, and Yeah, going where you wasn't supposed to go, being what you wasn't supposed to be. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. You know why he's not judged? Because he's already, been judged in Christ Jesus. All your sins, all your judgment, when you got saved, was taken and placed on Christ. Okay. Number six, we need to grow in spiritual wisdom. I've been leading up to that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Okay. Kid comes in and says, Mom, I want to do so-and-so. What do you think? Go ask your dad. Go ask dad. Dad, ask your mom. No. These are wonderful opportunities to teach wisdom and decision-making. And is this going to be something that will help me spiritually? Is it something that will hurt me spiritually? Will it push on my physical life? Or will it make me wiser? So he says, let us ask of God, who gives all men liberally. God's waiting to give it to us. Now, one of the ways God gives us wisdom is through the experiences of life and things that we do. And some of them are hard. Some of them are difficult. Listen to this, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be taught. When I was very young and in the Army, and I used to get those second lieutenants from West Point and other places fresh out of school, and I didn't want to listen to them. But I found out in life, anytime you're around people that are teaching, they may not know more than you, but they know something that you need to know. So you listen. You listen. You pay attention. And that's how you gain it. And after a while, you know what you know and what they know. And so you know more than anybody else. And that's how you get wisdom. But if you just say, well, I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to listen to that stuff. Okay, go on through life and be a dummy then. And then wonder when you fall off the log what happened, right? Wisdom. In verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 1, crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. He said just what I just said. Everywhere you look, there's a place to learn about wisdom. You can learn. You see the truck ahead of you? You're driving. He starts skidding. You say, hey, the road must be slick. Better slow down some. Oh, no, I'm going to pass him out there. You have a wreck, right? Dumb. So there's opportunities for wisdom to learn about it. And you can apply that same understanding to spiritual wisdom. So in verse 2 of chapter 2, Proverbs, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thy heart to understanding. Say, God, give me that. That's what Solomon asked for. God, give me a heart of understanding. Give me wisdom that I can know how to rule the people right. Give that to me. God wants to give it to you. And in chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Here's the Bible. This is God's voice. He said, God gives us wisdom out of it. So read it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I've been after it for a long time. I was looking at it this morning. I thought, I never noticed that before. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. You know, some people got to have a little more that than other people, right? The head's too hard. There's something connected to where you sit down to up here. Parents learn that, and they know just how much to give down here to get this to function, right? They don't understand that, but that's all right. You will someday. Okay, what's the conclusion of some of these things we've said? The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. All right? It says he makes a decision Some people, this is all about, am I going to eat? Am I going to drink? Am I going to satisfy my flesh? But he says, as a man works those things through his heart, his mind, that's what's going to produce from him. You keep going after the things that pull the flesh instead of the spirit. If you're a child of God, you have seen, we've had the ability to think. We have to exercise the spiritual life. And if you don't, you'll wind up going more after the flesh. One day you'll wake up and you'll say, look at me, how did I get here? By following after the flesh. I drank too much, I smoked too much, any of us too much, right? So, are you spiritual? You got the spiritual mind. Then use it. Get in the Bible. Get it exercised. Study it. Read it. Pray. Get with people who know how to do that. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a spiritual mind. And Lord, we have to confess many times we turned and erred from the way. We wanted to have our way. We wanted to be like the ox or the dumb animal. We had to be goaded to go the right way. And you corrected us. And sometimes you just let us go to see how long we'd go messing up our own life. And sometimes, Lord, we've messed up other people's life. Lord, help us to do that which brings honor to thee and please thee and learn. But first of all, most of all, as we've said many times, help us to make sure today, if we're in this building, that we have given our life to Jesus and that we have been born of the Spirit of God. While the piano plays softly for a few moments, the altar is extended as a time for you to make a decision about any issue that God spoke to you. If God spoke to you about something, may not have been anything that he would say to anybody else in this church, but he said it to you. He wants you to come down and say, yes, Lord, give me wisdom in this area of my life. I need more wisdom about choosing my friends. I need more wisdom about how to spend my money. I need more wisdom about things I say. I need to have a more forgiving heart, an understanding heart. Help me, Lord. Help me. What we sing. 532. Good invitation song in times like these. In times like these. 532 in your hymn book. 532. In these kind of times we're living, we really need the Bible. We need God. We need Him. 532.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. In times like these, times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one.
Sing those words. I am very sure. You're very sure. Amen. Don't go out that door if you're not very, very sure. Don't forget, if you need a voter's guide, they're back there. Also, our devotionals, if you haven't got one, or you want to share one with a neighbor or somebody, a friend at work, take it with you, and that's what they're for. Everybody get them out. And if you'd like to help us out with a prayer vigil, starting Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock and running till Tuesday morning on Wednesday. 8 o'clock on Wednesday. 8 o'clock both mornings, right? We start 24 hours. Sometimes I can't count very good. Sorry about that. But anyway, if you want to help out, let us know. Okay, we'll see you back. Be back tonight. We might have more fun tonight than we had this morning. How many of you would like that? I'm sure you would. Okay? Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Roger, would you have our closing prayer, please?